And now we'll move on to some other news. Our reader is Thea Paul.
This article comes from Section A5. It's titled, Local Tech Company, James River Group, Join on Cleanup. It's by Chelsea Jackson of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. Belle Isle, Richmond's James River Gym, is a perfect place to find great city views and outdoor fun. But after a sunny day, you can also find a lot of trash left behind. In honor of Earth Day, Richmond-based tech company Data Company One partnered with the James River Association to organize a community cleanup to help beautify the city's riverside. Through the use of data and AI, Data Company One's mission is to improve recycling and decrease litter within the city. Its app, LitterX, available on Android and Apple, aims to help users understand more about the waste they pick up and the impact they're having on the environment, as well as contribute toward global sustainability efforts. It's not just about picking up trash. They actually want to know something about the island. It helps them for investments and security. They are going to be able to identify where trash is located and what type it is. It's also going to help them realize what they need to do, said Thomas Grennan, Data Company One Chief Commercial Officer. The LitterX app uses barcode recognition and AI to correctly identify the type of litter and to collect such data as carbon footprint, carbon offset, geolocation, material, and material weight. This data collected helps to raise awareness and prevent future litter. The app allows users to see their stats after each scan, providing incentives and turning litter cleanup into a fun activity. From 9 a.m. to noon, about 20 volunteers spread out across the island's 54 acres with grabbers and trash bags, picking up litter, mostly beer cans. Alyssa Malone came prepared with her own trash grabber that she had originally bought to pick up items at the beach. Malone volunteered as a way to earn credits for her basic training course to become a Virginia Master Naturalist through the Virginia Department of Conservation and Recreation. She says LitterX is both quick and user-friendly. I just enjoy nature, Malone said. It makes me sad to see nature without trash messing with it or getting nature trapped in it. It's a bummer, so I'm out here picking it up. The data gathered by LitterX allows groups to better understand litter patterns and strategize to prevent it in the future. Thanks to groups like Data Company One, the city's riverside is cleaner. Belle Isle is in the center of the park system. It links the north, south, east, and west. It's popular for tourists and locals. We're trying to make sure people understand that you can have things that are nice. Richmond has scarce resources, and therefore, for us to volunteer and help to keep it nice is critical, Grennan said. That article, again, is by Chelsea Jackson, and it is from the Richmond Times-Dispatch, titled Local Tech Company, James River Group, Join on Cleanup.
Now we'll turn to the weather page, page A7, where we have an article from Christina Larson of the Associated Press, headlined, Lyrid Meteor Shower Peaks This Weekend. Dateline Washington. The Lyrid meteor shower is underway. But with a nearly full moon in the sky during the peak, it might be tough to see clearly. The Lyrids occur every year in mid to late April. This year's peak activity happens Sunday into Monday, with 10 to 20 meteors expected per hour. Viewing lasts through April 29th. Here's what to know about viewing the Lyrids and other meteor showers. Multiple meteor showers occur annually, and you don't need special equipment to see them. Most meteor showers originate from the debris of comets. The source of the Lyrids is the comet Thacher. When rocks from space enter Earth's atmosphere, the resistance from the air makes them very hot. This causes the air to glow around them and briefly leaves a fiery tail behind them, the end of a shooting star. The glowing pockets of air around fast-moving space rocks, ranging from the size of a dust particle to a boulder, may be visible in the night sky. Meteor showers are usually most visible between midnight and pre-dawn hours and don't require special equipment. Just look up. It's easier to see shooting stars under dark skies, away from city lights. Meteor showers also appear brightest on cloudless nights when the moon wanes smallest. Look to the northeast and just keep staring at the same spot in the sky to see the Lyrids, said University of Warwick astronomer Don Polacco. It's always impressive when you see these things. The clearest sighting for the Lyrids is in the northern hemisphere, but moonlight will interfere with viewing, according to the American Meteor Society. Under ideal conditions, the meteors often appear very bright with bluish trails, and often the trails seem to hang around for a few seconds in the sky, said Polacco. The Meteor Society keeps an updated list of upcoming large meteor showers, including the peak viewing days and moonlight conditions. And that story was from Christina Larson of the Associated Press, Lyrid Meteor Shower Peaks This Weekend, on page A7. Thea?
This article comes from section A, page 11. It's titled, Mexican Family Search for Missing Relatives. It's by Fabiola Sanchez of the Associated Press. Dozens of women and men searched a garbage dump outside Mexico's capital Friday, looking for signs of missing loved ones, working without the protection of authorities as part of a nationwide effort to raise the profile of those who risk their lives to find others. Under a blazing sun and amid foul odors, they picked through the dump and other sites in the town of Tepoztlan in Mexico State, which hugs Mexico City on three sides. Hundreds of collectives across Mexico are participating in search operations this weekend to draw attention to the work they are left to do without official help in a country with nearly 100,000 people registered as missing. The work is dangerous. The United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights documented 9 cases since 2019 of women who were slain over their work hunting for missing relatives. Other organizations in Mexico recorded even more cases. The groups participating this weekend decided to forgo government protection as a way to protest authorities' frequent indifference to disappearances. We feel abandoned by the state to respond to this situation, which is a real national emergency, some 250 collectives making up the National Unification of Searching Families said in a statement. Juan Carlos Trujillo Herrera has been searching for 4 brothers who disappeared in Guerrero and Veracruz states more than a decade ago. He said uniting search collectives across Mexico raises consciousness. With the state, without the state, and beyond the state, no one has to stop searching, he said. In the work at the dump Friday, searchers used a backhoe as well as shovels, picks, and metal rods to search through debris. While disappearances plagued Mexico for decades, the phenomenon exploded in 2006 when authorities declared war on the drug cartels. For years, the government looked the other way as violence increased and families of the missing were forced to remain silent or carefully search for their relatives. The administration of current President Andrés Manuel López Obrador invested in creating a national database of the missing and the National Search Commission for Missing Persons. However, he drew the ire of many families and advocates last year by ordering a recount of the missing. It was seen as an effort to lower Mexico's embarrassingly high total, and it did, moving from some 113,000 last year to a revised total of just short of 100,000. That article again is titled Mexican Families Search for Missing Relatives by Fabiola Sanchez of the Associated Press. Pete?
Next on page A11, states race to restrict deepfake porn. This is by Madison Fitzgerald of Stateline.org. After a 2014 leak of hundreds of celebrities' intimate photos, Olduz Wallace learned that she was among the public figures whose images had been stolen and disseminated online. Wallace, an actress, writer, and social media influencer, found out the images were ones her ex had taken without her consent and had threatened to leak. Over the next few years, Wallace spent loads of money paying private companies to take down the images, she said. It wasn't until later that she found out that those same photos had been used to make fake pornographic images of her. It's just ridiculous the amount of time that people have and how much they're profiting from these kinds of things, Wallace said. For them to sit there and create so much fake content of someone that clearly doesn't want anything of that sort, without consent, it's just crazy to me. Mortified, Wallace was reluctant to share her story, at first. But in 2022, she went public with it, and now she heads a nonprofit organization, Foundation RA, that's R-A, that supports people who have become victims of manipulated or artificial intelligence-generated sexual images. I thought, at what point is someone going to do something about this? She asked. And that's when I decided to share my story and try to change the law. As more people, including minors, become victims of deepfake pornography and the industry that's growing out of it, state lawmakers are pursuing legislation to deter the unauthorized creation and dissemination of digitally altered images. Deepfakes, digitally altered photos and videos that can make someone appear to be or be doing just about anything, have proliferated on the Internet. Examples range from simple face swaps done using readily available software to a person grafting Tom Cruise's face and voice onto their body for content on a TikTok account. In 2023, the total number of deepfake videos online was over 95,000. That was up 550% from 2019, according to a report by Home Security Heroes, a group that researches best practices for online security. Pornography made up 98% of those. The issue made international headlines in January when fabricated sexually explicit images of pop star Taylor Swift created by a free AI generator went viral, prompting lawmakers in several states to introduce legislation to combat deepfake porn, including Missouri's Taylor Swift Act. Several years ago, special equipment was needed to make a deepfake video. That's no longer true, said Mark Berkman, CEO of the Organization for Social Media Safety, a national nonprofit organization dedicated to social media safety. And that story was on page A11, States' Race to Restrict Deepfake Porn, by Madison Fitzgerald of Stateline.org.
Also on page A11, there's an article titled Hostages' Families Face Grim Passover by Sam Mednick of the Associated Press. Every year, Alon Gatt's mother led the family's Passover celebration of the liberation of the ancient Israelites from Egypt thousands of years ago. But this year, Gatt is struggling with how to reconcile a holiday commemorating freedom after his mother was slain and other family members abducted when Hamas attacked Israel. Gatt's sister Carmel and wife Yarden Roman Gatt were taken hostage in the October 7th attack. His wife was freed in November, but his sister remains captive. "We can't celebrate our freedom because we don't have this freedom. Our fathers and sisters and mothers and fathers are still in captivity, and we need to release them," Gatt said. On Monday, Jews around the world will begin celebrating the week-long Passover holiday, recounting the biblical story of their exodus from Egypt after hundreds of years of slavery. But for many Israelis, it's hard to fathom a celebration of freedom when friends and family are not free. The Hamas attack killed some 1,200 people, while about 250 others were taken hostage. About half were released in a week-long ceasefire in November, while the rest remain in Gaza, more than 30 of them believed to be dead. For many Jews, Passover is a time to reunite with family and recount the exodus from Egypt at a meal known as the Seder. Observant Jews avoid grains known as shemesh, a reminder of the unleavened bread the Israelites ate when they fled Egypt quickly with no time for dough to rise. But this year, many families are torn about how or even if to celebrate. When Hamas attacked Kibbutz Be'eri, Gatt, his wife, 3-year-old daughter, parents, and sister hid for hours in their rocket-proof safe room. But fighters entered the house and killed or abducted everyone inside, except for his father, who hid in the bathroom. His mother was dragged into the street and shot. Gatt, his arms and legs bound, was shoved into a car with his wife and daughter. During a brief stop, they managed to flee. Knowing he could run faster, Roman Gatt handed him their daughter. Gatt escaped with her, hiding in a ditch for nearly 9 hours. His wife was recaptured and held in Gaza for 54 days. Passover this year will be more profound, as freedom has taken on a new meaning, Roman Gatt said. "To feel the wind upon your face with your eyes closed, to shower, to go to the toilet without permission, and with the total privacy and privilege to take as long as I please with no one urging me, waiting for me at the other side to make sure I'm still theirs," she said in a text message. Still, Passover will be overshadowed by deep sorrow and worry for her sister-in-law and other hostages, she said. The family will mark the holiday with a low-key dinner in a restaurant without celebration. That article again was titled Hostages, Families Face Grim Passover by Sam Mednick of the Associated Press.
Continuing on page A11, Fluoride Divides Communities Across the U.S. This is by Melba Newsom of KFF Health News, Dateline Monroe, North Carolina. Regina Barrett, a 69-year-old retiree who lives in the small North Carolina city of Monroe, southeast of Charlotte, has not been happy with her tap water for a while. "Our water has been cloudy and bubbly and looks milky," said Barrett, who blames fluoride, a mineral that communities across the nation have for decades added to the water supply to help prevent cavities and improve dental health. "I don't want fluoride in my nothing," said Barrett, echoing a growing number of people who not only doubt the mineral's effectiveness, but also believe it may be harmful, despite decades of data pointing to public health and economic benefits. In February, the Board of County Commissioners in Union County, whose seat is Monroe, voted 3-2 to stop adding fluoride to drinking water at the Yadkin River Water Treatment Plant, the only water source wholly owned and operated by the county. But the decision came after heated discussions among residents and county officials. "My children had the blessing of growing up with fluoride in their water, and they have very little dental issues," Commissioner Richard Helms said ahead of the vote. A fellow commissioner saw it differently. David Williams said, "Let's stop putting something in the water that's meant to treat us and give people the freedom to choose." Barrett's water comes from the city of Monroe, not the Yadkin facility. So, for now, she will continue to drink water enhanced with fluoride. "I'm suspicious as to why they add that to our water," she told KFF Health News. It is a scenario playing out nationwide. From Oregon to Pennsylvania, hundreds of communities have in recent years either stopped adding fluoride to their water supplies or voted to prevent its addition. Supporters of such bans argue that people should be given the freedom of choice. The broad availability of over-the-counter dental products containing the mineral makes it no longer necessary to add to public water supplies, they say. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says that while store-bought products reduce tooth decay, the greatest protection comes when they are used in combination with water fluoridation. The outcome of an ongoing federal case in California could force the Environmental Protection Agency to create a rule regulating or banning the use of fluoride in drinking water nationwide. In the meantime, the trend is raising alarm bells for public health researchers who worry that, much like vaccines, fluoride may have become a victim of its own success. The CDC maintains that community water fluoridation is not only safe and effective, but also yields significant cost savings in dental treatment. Public health officials say removing fluoride could be particularly harmful to low-income families, for whom drinking water may be the only source of preventive dental care. "If you have to go out and get care on your own, it's a whole different ballgame," said Myron Aloukian, Jr., a dentist and past president of the American Public Health Association. "Millions of people have lived with fluoridated water for years, and," he said, "we've had no major health problems. It's much easier to prevent a disease than to treat it." According to the anti-fluoride group Fluoride Action Network, since 2010, over 240 communities around the world have removed fluoride from their drinking water or decided not to add it. Fluoride opponents claim the mineral is responsible for everything from acne to high blood pressure and thyroid dysfunction to bone cancer. And that was most of this article from page A11, "Fluoride Divides Communities Across the U.S. by Melba Newsom of KFF Health News. And that's about all the time we have for this reading of the April 22nd Richmond Times-Dispatch. I'm Pete Legato, along with Tracy Rothschild Lynch and Thea Paul for Virginia Voice. This program is brought to you through the generous support of the Richmond Times-Dispatch.